Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you on this Christmas Eve service to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Just a couple of announcements to make before we get started with our worship service. Christmas Eve is always such a fun service because the degree of difficulty for the attendees goes way up. It's dramatic. You can actually burn the sanctuary down or mess up your clothes if you don't listen to me. We're going to have a candle lighting at the end. The key is in how you deal with the candle. If you've got a lit candle, you want to always keep it up. And then the person that's going to light the candle as they get passed down will tip. So lit, straight up, tip, thank, right, like that. The other thing is we'll be receiving communion by intinction, or not by intinction tonight, by a modified intinction. You'll come forward. We will provide a piece of bread and a cup of juice if you would like. If you would like gluten-free, please let the communion stewards know. There are trash cans on either side, so as you depart, go to the sides of the sanctuary and throw your cup away, or you can keep it as a souvenir for tonight's service, but people might question you pretty heavily for doing so. Those are the announcements that I have, with one exception. Tonight, if you have a poinsettia that you have given in memory or in honor of, please make sure you get it on the way out of the sanctuary this evening. Those being the announcements this evening, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So Finley was supposed to read, but he said he liked the candles instead, so I got to read. Rejoice, people of God. The light has come into the world. O God, now we light the candle of your nativity.
With the company of heaven and the sounds of great joy, you come to us. This is the time of light and resplendent joy. God has been born among us. We remember how God is joyfully and powerfully revealed to us by seeing how this church and our community shows up for those in need.
The prophet Isaiah proclaimed a time when those who walked in the shadows would see a great light. A light would shine and a child would be born to us. The evangelist Luke painted the nativity sky and repeated the heavenly song of the angels. Glory, peace on earth, and goodwill. John declared that it is great light in Christ, the Word made flesh. This great light lives among us. By it we behold God's glory, full of grace and truth. At Christ's nativity we now rejoice. Join me now in our opening prayer located in this evening's bulletin. God, our life and light, thank you for coming this night to us. Thanks for touching all heaven and earth with your splendor. In every corner of the world, shine this night with your peace. In every corner of our hearts, shine this night with your grace. Amen.
This evening brings it all home, doesn't it? As we gather around and feel the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize deep truths are in front of us. And it's in that space of truthfulness that we recognize that this year has come and gone and we've been less than perfect in it. And yet the great good news of Christ's salvation is the awareness, the knowledge, the great and blessed joy that hope gives us in Christ Jesus to remind us always that we are forgiven of our sins and expected to live the life everlasting. Friends, join me as we fearlessly confess our sin using the words of this evening's prayer of confession located in the bulletin. God of grace and truth, in Jesus Christ you came among us as light shining in the darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted the news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ the Lord. Amen. Friends, the declaration is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ bore our sins on the cross, and he bore them for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Please be seated.
In the beginning, in the midst of darkness, God spoke.
Let there be light.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word came and dwelt among us. And the Word was the light of all peoples.
Let there be light.
We light our candles, knowing that the one who is the source and promise of all light is the one whose birth we celebrate.
Let there be light.
We are here to seek a little light by which we can see, by which we can live, and by which we can love.
Let there be light.
We need to know that we are part of something greater than the flicker of our own little candles. We long to be assured that the light of Christ is with us even in the moment.
Let there be light.
So we light our candles in gratitude for the love and light that shine through the babe born in Bethlehem, who became the Redeemer of us all. May we be so emboldened as to share the love of God with a world longing for light and hope, purpose and love. May our actions and generosity shine in the world under the shadow of despair.
Let there be light.
We join the chorus of those whose carols have echoed through the years. O come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Let there be light.
I will be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, and it is on Pew Bible, page 683. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of the death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered that yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
I'm going to be reading Psalms 96, and it's out of the New King James Version. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the people with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
The New Testament reading is Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works.
It crossed my mind a while back that it's Christmas Eve that pastors' wives, I think, or pastors' husbands, whichever the case may be, have a tough go of it, especially if you're at a church with an 11 o'clock service. Because as our kids were in that age range where there was toys to be put together and assembled, the nature of my work required that I was at a church. And so I would, when we were in River Hills, I would drive this long and lonely, peaceful path from River Hills Church through South Gaston County and into Mount Holly. And it was a wonderful time. You'd have the peace of Christ echoing in your heart. And then you come in the door, and poor Natalie is frenzied trying to put together like a big wheel or something like that. You feel bad, and you realize that this peacefulness, this blessed time of rest and really allowing our minds to turn off, it comes in the midst of a struggle. You see, the struggle is there waiting for us on the other side, whether it's the day after Christmas, whether it's a broken toy that your kid really wanted and you can't get it fixed on the day. We, I think, all know and recognize that pain. There is, in this earth, in this life, there is discord, strife, trouble, things that go bump in the night. There are scary and fearsome things. And yet, the message of Jesus Christ that greets us this evening is one of victory. It's one of victory, and it's one of everlasting peace. And yet, it's a peace that's fashioned and formed in the midst of a struggle. And it's one that comes at a great cost. You know, one of my favorite miniseries of all time, and it's kind of odd because I'm always drawn to watching it right around Christmas, is Band of Brothers, which I confess is an awfully odd mini-series to riff on a little bit on a Christmas Eve service. But I think it tells a story in a way that we all experience. Certainly not the terrors of war, at least I hope not. But it tells about a struggle, an ongoing one, in which there are real costs, real losses to be borne. And yet in the midst of that, there is something precious and holy and right. There is a team, a band of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you will, that are drawn together by the Savior we greet coming into the world this night. And that blessed group forms the Church of Jesus Christ, the body that is then called and empowered to go out into the world and shine the light. But we've got a struggle in front of us. It's a tough one. It's the battle between good and evil, if you will. And the thing is, we need to hear the same words. You see, the colonel of that particular regiment and band of brothers was a man who wrote a letter to his troops right before the big jump, right before D-Day. And it said this: today, as you read this, you are en route to that great adventure for which you have trained for over 2 years. Tonight is the night of nights. Tomorrow, throughout the world, whole of our homeland and an allied world, the bells will ring out the tidings that you have arrived and the invasion for liberation has begun. The hopes and prayers of your dear ones accompany you. The confidence of your high commanders go with you. When the going is tough, let us go harder. Imbued with the faith and rightness of our cause, may God be with each of you fine soldiers. By your actions, let us justify his faith in us. We know what happened to those particular young men and women that faced the very tip of the spear against the rising evil of Nazi Germany. They were victorious. And yet one of the things that haunts us at times is to see the rising specter of evil in our midst and wonder, when will the cavalry come? When will the blessed light arrive that dispels from our midst the ravages of COVID, the ravages of our internecine battles politically? When will the cavalry arrive that will shine the light of Jesus Christ, that will unify us, heart, mind, body, and soul, into the work which Jesus Christ has called us? When will that day come? The great good news of Christmas Eve is that day came many, many years ago. Each passing year draws us 1 year further from the initial invasion. Now, make no mistake about it. Christ coming into the world didn't clarify the problem of evil forever, but its resolution has begun. It's like, in a way, that if evil was a sweater, one of those holiday ones that is likely to be worn tonight, and somebody just took one string and started pulling it. That's what Jesus Christ's power did. And it was all told in the annals of our Old Testament. We hear, as we read the pages of Scripture, that in fact Jesus Christ was destined, was the plan from the very beginning. If you'll remember, during our Advent series, we talked about Genesis 3, about how in that declaration of God, as he curses the serpent for tricking Adam and Eve, there is that strong and triumphant declaration that one day, the heel of a child of a woman would strike and destroy the tempter forever. That began over 2,000 years ago, in a backwater town in a part of the world that nobody much thought about unless you were a conquesting conqueror that wanted to go to the other side of the world. Israel was a waste dump, if you will, a land bridge between two mighty powers, and they were always being oppressed. You see, the Jesus that greeted the Jewish people in the world were a people that were 100 years under the lash of Roman occupation by that point. You know, Pompey had come and wrecked the Jerusalem, but it was Titus that came back and defiled the temple just a few years later. you know, the things that they would have seen over that 100 years, three generations brought up in oppression. They would have seen terror. They would have seen deprivation. They would have seen Roman centurions in their midst. And friends, they would have had no idea what was about to happen. Not unless they were Aunt Mary or one of the other people that was Jesus' birth announced to. They had no idea the world was about to change. None whatsoever. You see, the Romans had a way of dealing with dissent. It was called crucifixions, and they weren't afraid to use it. In the run-up to Jesus Christ's ministry, there were no less than 7 messiahs that failed. People that thought that they were the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. But they died on a Roman cross, and they did not rise. Friends, what we come here this evening to remember, and to remember so well, is that God takes action in this world, and he does so with alacrity, with speed, and with purpose. He does so telling us that the day would come in the Old Testament, and then heralding it to us again, as we read in the pages of Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What Jesus Christ did in coming into the world was indelibly and permanently link you to a promise that existed before the foundations of the earth. Your name was written in the book of life. And you know that because the determining factor is here already, Jesus Christ. You hail him as Lord. You come on this December evening to be reminded of his goodness, of his peace, of his hope, and his love, and his joy. And you do so because the Holy Spirit has inspired you to feel so deeply the joy that you so richly need. Why do you need joy? Why do you need this peace that we get this wonderful Christmas Eve and into tomorrow? We need it because we're engaged in a struggle. We're engaged in a struggle just like the first apostles and disciples were. And the struggle isn't really with the Romans, is it? It's not. They're the easy targets to pick on, the ones that we lift up as being the source of our problems, but they're not. Not always. More often than not, when we look in the mirror, we see the cause of our problems. And yet, what the good news, the declaration of the gospel is that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into it so that whoever believed in him would not die but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son in the world to condemn it, but in order that the world be saved through him. You and I have been saved. We've been saved from the ravages of sin. We've been saved from the eternality of death. And yet we've been called into service just like the men and women of Easy Company so many years ago. Friends, we've been summoned to do the very work that Jesus Christ coming into the world began, inaugurated, initiated, and commenced. Friends, there is a world, and it grows darker every day. There's a world that fills up with human animus, that fills up with deprivation, that fills up with longing and sorrow and sadness and death. And the declaration we make this Christmas Eve is the one we've made for over 2,000 years. The cavalry has already come. Victory is declared. That it might look difficult or dark, even when we're furiously trying to put together a big wheel, and we might think we can't do it because our idiot husbands aren't home yet and probably couldn't help us if he was there anyway. The thing is, in that space of failure, of frenzy, of sadness, there is Jesus. There is the one that came, the one that loved, the one that drew together a church, the one that died by suffering for us and for our salvation. That one is the one we greet tomorrow. That's the one who tells us not to be afraid of the people who can even kill our bodies because they have no power over us. that the power is Jesus, and the power was made known in the most humble way of all. A babe born in a backwater town in a manger with more animal witnesses than human, that only shepherds came to greet that first night. Shepherds were considered some of the lowest people in the world. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later, still engaged, still walking away from the mire, still fighting the forces that hold good people down and back. And we do so because we've been summoned by Jesus Christ. He came like a conquering hero, but in a way that we didn't even know that he was there. And I couldn't help but imagine, and if you can give me a little dramatic license, I imagine what we might hear this evening if somebody like Colonel Sink was alive to give us a pep talk. Because, friends, things are difficult now. We've got a pandemic that's out there. We've got folks that are frightened and then folks that are arguing. The people of God, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ that he calls friends, are desperately needed right now. Desperately. So take the night, enjoy the peace, relish the calming freedom of the knowledge that your sins have forgiven, and then rise again tomorrow, engaged for the fight, and hear these words. Today, as you read this, you are en route to the great adventure for which you have trained for all of the days of your life. Tonight is the night of nights. Tomorrow, throughout the whole of our world, the bells will ring and the tidings that Jesus Christ has arrived and the invasion for liberation has long since begun. The hopes and prayers of the great cloud of witnesses accompanies you. The confidence of angels and our great high priest goes with you. The fears of the evil one are about to become a reality. Let us strike hard. When the going is tough, let us go harder. Imbued with faith in the rightness of our cause to shine Christ's light brightly into a sin-darkened world, and by the power of your might, let us feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, give light, sight to the blind, and hope to the hopeless. May God be with each of you fine soldiers. By your actions, let us, each and every one of us, justify his faith in us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, it's an interesting point of correlation that as we depart from the sermon and come into the Lord's table that we're fed. You know, in that mini-series, the band of brothers, the guys in the Easy Company know that the invasion is about to happen. Why? They get fed steak and they get fed ice cream. And they know that the day is coming. Well, friends, the day is surely coming in which we'll be fed now at the Lord's table. This is a table that Jesus Christ himself initiated. It's he who invites us, he who sets it, and he who blesses us with it. Friends, this is the Lord's table, open to all as a means by which we receive in a special way God's grace. Seen, experienced, felt, and yet invisible at the same time. So friends, this evening, this night of nights, this wonderful and blessed Christmas Eve, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this night, so many years ago, that you acted, that you, in fact, delivered your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into a world that was still beset with darkness and violence and sin. Heavenly Father, we thank you that his ministry was a blessed success, that he was able to draw together men and women and teach them about his purpose. The purpose is, of course, to let all know that in Jesus Christ they've been saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed, wonderful salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. So too, Heavenly Father, do we thank you for your provision. You are indeed a God that provides everything that we need at the dawn of creation as you spoke your powerful word and brought into existence everything you and I will ever encounter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you've provided this world for us. But more importantly, we thank you for the way that you provide for us individually. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you, O Lord, for your many, many mercies. Gracious God, we just ask now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would be with this bread and this fruit of the vine so that you might feed us in this wonderful meal. Prepare us, O Lord, for the peace that awaits. Prepare us for the battle that lays beyond. But in all things and all ways, Lord, equip us, body, mind, and soul, to be your servants, your slaves, always seeking you and your will in this world and in this time. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them concluding with the prayer he taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after breaking the bread, he gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Friends, every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. And so, friends, I invite you now to taste and see the Lord is good. The way we'll receive communion is we'll get up by row and then we'll come forward. The bread and the juice will be here for you with the communion stewards. You will then progress to the sides and out and then back around.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you fed us in this communion meal. Now, Heavenly Father, allow your grace to do its work. We pray that as you draw us home, you keep us safe. We pray that as we sleep tonight, that you fill us with the thoughts of our Lord Jesus, not only his arrival into the world on this night so many years ago, but also being reminded of his arrival yet again. As he comes again in glory, the trumpet blare, seeing Jesus come again in glory. Prepare us, O Lord, for that day. Allow us to celebrate richly tomorrow the awareness that you have come and declared victory over evil and sin and death, and that you abide with us until the end of the age in which you put together a new heaven and a new earth and you merge them again so that your space and our space is but one space yet again. Heavenly Father, prepare us all now so that whether we live or whether we die, our lives will always be in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make all these prayers hopeful and expectant of that wonderful and coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. We come now into a time of giving in which we're reminded that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. All of the money from tonight's service will go to the Presbyterian Joy Offering, which supports ministries in and around the states, but also takes care of pastors in need. May we all remember God loves a cheerful giver.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the many blessings you've given us in this calendar year. Now, as we return a portion of them back to you, we just ask that you sanctify this offering, using it to bring about your will and your way in this world from now until the day Jesus Christ comes again in glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We come now into the time of singing Silent Night and preparing the light that we'll take out into the world. Again, once the candle is lit, please, no tilting. We've got such a blessed life in Jesus Christ. My prayer is for every one of you that you would find yourself surrounded by your loved ones, your family, your friends, this night as well as into tomorrow, that you would find and encounter that joy and that peace and that hope and that love that we've talked about throughout this season, and that you carry that good feeling, that sense of the Spirit's nearness out into the world, making Christ's name known in thought, in word, and in deed. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. Oh.